found in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Begin reading at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Isn't that a wonderful invitation that Jesus has given there? Heavenly Father, we pray you'd open your word to our hearts tonight and give us that you see that we have need of. Stir us where we need to be stirred. Challenge us wherever we need to be challenged. Help us to move up, Lord, wherever we need to move up. And all that you do, we'll give thee praise and honor and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lifting our text, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Well, you say, preacher, why cold or hot? Well, if we're hot, we can be used of God. And it might be that if we're cold, we'd be in a place to where we could recognize our spiritual need and get something done. And the Lord was giving this to the Laodicean church. And, of course, that applies to the Laodicean age. And do you know where that's at? That's us. That's the last church age. That's us. So he was doing that, not casting them off, but as he ended up there, and what I read, that the door was open, and the invitation was out, and as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke as a father would a son, that he might perfect holiness in our lives. So he's not casting the church of Laodicea off, but he wants to help them. He wants to lift them up. He said, I know thy works. I know all about it, and we know that he does, that we're cold, and they were lukewarm, and he said they had lost left their first love. And so we don't want to be caught in that lukewarm condition. There's something about cold water that's refreshing. There's something about hot water that's good for medical use or cleansing purposes, but something about that tepid, lukewarm state that just doesn't fit the bill, meet the need. In fact, it was so repulsive to Christ himself until he said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It made God sick at his stomach. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about a half-hearted, lukewarm, self-sufficient attitude toward God and toward our spiritual standing until we feel that we don't need to go any deeper, we don't need to go any farther, there's nothing that we need to do in this realm. God said, Jesus said, Christ said, I'm sick at my stomach, of that. I'm sick of it. And I just can't accept and receive that. We look at their testimony in this of the Laodicean church, and they said, I have need of nothing. Now, when I think about the Laodicean age, and that's us, that's our church age, and I think about the church world in general out there, and they're measuring their success by the great institutions that they have, the schools that they have, the churches that they have, their colleges, whatever, and the plants and the great crowds until they can have service, you know, two services on the Sunday morning, and then that doesn't get everybody in there. They have to have service on Sunday night or Saturday night. My sister, she said some time ago, she said, well, we go to the service on Saturday night. Well, nothing wrong with going to church on Saturday night, but in my estimation, that doesn't take the place of going to the house of God on Sunday. And, of course, what that does is freeze it up, you know, to where you can go golf on Sunday, or you can mow the yard on Sunday, or you can go visit the kin folks on Sunday, or you can just lay in bed on Sunday morning, you know, and feel pretty good about it because you've already gone to church on Saturday night. Well, some churches, I remember a church that wife's brother pastored, and he hadn't been in the ministry too long, but there were a group, that group of Nazarenes, but they had been General Baptists, and in the previous years, they were used to having church every Saturday night, and then on Sunday morning, and then on Sunday night, and they expected him to preach. Well, I want to tell you, for a young preacher, and with no more experience than he had, I mean, it was putting the drain on him. But that's what they expected, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. You'll not get spiritual indigestion just by going to the house of God three times over the weekend. And but here we have the Laodicean age, and they have a complacency. They said, you know, we know. We've written our own Bible. We've adjusted the commandments of God. We've got everything just pretty well the way we want it. If we're not comfortable with it, we just change it. Well, that's one way of doing it. Well, Christ spoke to them, and he was talking to them about their present condition. Now, in his message to them, he wasn't just pulling things out of the air, but he was talking to this Laodicean church out of things that temporally and materially applied unto them. And he was placing, and of course, trying to help them to see the spiritual need that they had. First of all, was the water condition. Laodicea was noted for its scarcity of water. And what they done, they went out of the cities quite a ways to whatever well or source of supply that they had. And so they would pipe the water in to the city through the pipes or the conduits. And by the time that it got into the city, naturally, it was warm, it was tepid, it was lukewarm. And that's where Christ was coming from with a message when he said, you know, you're not hot, you're not cold. They could understand that. You're just lukewarm. I wonder in their own hearts and in their own lives if there hadn't been a lot of times they thought, well, boy, I wish I had a cool, refreshing drink of cold water. We were farmers back there as kids. And my dad basically farmed and row cropped. And we chopped cotton. You've heard people talk about, well, that cotton picker. Well, I was one of them. My wife was another. We'd done more courting in the cotton patch than we ever done anywhere else. Well, you done that, you know, I would take a row over here. We had a row between us, and she had her row. And so whoever was the fastest picker would pick the heaviest on this middle row. And so we had days, you know, worked for her dad, and we had days spending time in the cotton patch. Well, sometimes you'd get down on the far end of the field, but the water jug was on the opposite end is what you wanted, and oh, how you wanted water so bad. Oh, my goodness, maybe a quarter of a mile or half a mile rose and hot, and especially in cotton chopping time, and you wanted water. Well, I wonder how many times in this Laodicean crowd, how they thought how good it would be. I doubt they had refrigerators and deep freezes and the convenience that we have today to be able to get ice whenever we want it. Whenever there was that longing in their soul. But you know, there ought to be that longing in the soul of the individual for the cool water that he has. They had a scarcity of it to begin with, but he has no scarcity tonight of the springs of living water. I tell you, we can consume it. We can enjoy it. It'll refresh our soul. It'll strengthen us and help us. I heard a coach talking about one time. He said, back there, I didn't understand why whenever we was exercising and preparing and conditioning our bodies, and they'd have us to drink water, drink water, drink water. He found out later that the muscles are strengthened by water, and I don't know what percent of the body is made up of water. Some, it's more air than it is water. But spiritually, it's good to drink from the streams of living water and receive the spiritual help and strength to our spiritual muscles that God wants us to have. That's why when it comes to prayer meeting time that some folk don't have a testimony is because their spiritual muscles are kind of weak because they haven't drank it from the springs of living water. Praise God. They can't labor for the Lord. They can't find the place of prayer and look to the Lord because of the water. Well, the next thing that he talked to them about, he said, was their riches. They said, we're rich. We don't have need of nothing. Well, in one sense, I guess that's good. And not anything wrong or sinful in being rich. Not anything wrong in having a sufficiency. I was raised poor. My daddy was a holiness preacher. Ruth, you know what about that? There'd be those times, but I never thought about that we was poor. I never thought about us being poor and that we was impoverished or that we was substandard or anything like that. Just never thought anything about it. Vacations, if we had vacation, it was go to camp meeting. I was thinking of your vacation, but maybe not use that as an illustration. Okay. They said, we're rich. Now, the reason he was coming to them from this angle was because Laodicea was a banking center. They had thriving banks. You say, well, preacher, you're just making this all up. Well, you check history, and you can dig it out and find it just like I did. Would anybody say amen for $5? Where's Geraldine at? She would. I don't know where she's at. Wouldn't you, honey? They were a banking system. Yeah, they said, we're rich. Things are going all right. We don't have any problem. He said, thou knowest not that you're poor, wretched, miserable, blind, in a terrible condition. Here your testimony is, we're rich. Well, they were, as far as money and as far as their banking industry and as far as the things that the temporal things. But spiritually, he said, you're poverty stricken. Well, I tell you, that's an awful state to be caught in a state of poverty. Right. We're pastoring a little home mission work, lived in the basement of the church. They had Oh, we had a room. They'd carpeted. It wasn't all bad. Here you are down there in the basement, and they'd taken and made a kind of a small picture window, and you could look out and see the alley, maybe the neighbor's trash can or something like that, you know. One of the kids was sick, and that's back for Wicks or Hoosier Health or whatever. And we got to, I guess, evidently took him to the doctor because we came up with a prescription somehow and went to the drugstore and got that thing filled, brought it in, set it on the kitchen table. And Karen, it was for one of the boys, I think, but Karen wasn't very big. And you know how little kids, they've always got to mess around with it. Went in and picked that bottle of prescription up, and it was concrete floors. It slipped out of her hand, hit the floor, and busted the bottle. Well, I tell you, I busted something else. No. No, I didn't. I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't, did I, honey? Was we able to go back and get more? She don't even know. Poverty stricken. I could go on and on. That's not going to bless you. Okay. He said, I will give you gold tried in the fire. Spiritually speaking, gold tried in the fire. Evidently, that's something that's purified. That's something substantial. That's something of value. That's something that, of great worth. And he said he would give us that. Isn't it good to have your own profession of faith and have that own quality and that goal that's tried in the fire? You don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to have anybody else's experience. You don't have to. God can give you an experience just like he wants you to have. Saul said to David, said, here, take my armor, boy. You're going to need something facing the giant, and tried to load him all down with that thing and the sleeves maybe down over his hands and coattail down, and David put that off and said, I haven't tried it. No way that I can do it. And the sickening thing about that, you know, Saul was too big a coward. It wasn't working for him. He wouldn't go out there and face Goliath. But he said, boy, here's what you need is a coat like I've got, an experience like I got, to do it like I do it. Well, if it wasn't working for him, what made him think that it'd work for David? Fella told somebody else, said, you know, you need an experience like, well, now he said, I realize I don't go to church like I ought to, but if it wouldn't let him go to church like he ought to, why try to shove something like they had off on somebody else? Gold tried in the fire. You can have your own experience and just be free in the Lord. Testify to the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Sing the special. You don't have to sing like Ken and Diane or these ladies so beautifully tonight. If God wants you to sing. Wasn't we scheduled last Sunday morning? Go preach somewhere if you want to get out of it. Voted me into that class, and here I'm about to preach myself to death to stay away from you. I told James that might happen. The Lord opened me up 9 services for June. You know why he did? Because I asked him to. Not 9, but I said, you open the doors you want, close the doors that you want. That's what I asked him to do. Oh, thank God. Gold tried in the fire, an experience of grace that we wouldn't sell out for, we wouldn't compromise with, we wouldn't take anything for it whatsoever. Praise God. I'm glad to be part of you, but I'm glad to be part of the holiness crowd. Thank God. I'm glad for the holiness people tonight. Amen. All right, I've got another point. I ought to use it up now. He said, I've got white raiment for you. Now you say, what does that have to do? Well, at Laodicea, everybody wore black. Black's pretty. But black would be pretty dull after a while, wouldn't it? Just day in and day out. I can see the bankers as they would go down to their banks, they had black suits. I could see the housewives as they, would maybe spiffy up and go out to the market, but they had black dresses. The reason that black was so popular at Laodicea, they raised black sheep. Yeah. They had a lot of them there. A lot of churches have got them too. Black sheep. But wouldn't it be wonderful? Spiritually, he said, I can fix you up with white raiment. Maybe you'd have stood out like a sore thumb. I don't know. When we went to Ukraine, I had a tan overcoat and I had a Russian hat. You know, how long them been out, I don't know, but that's what I had. I thought, well, it worked pretty good over there and you can squeeze it. You don't have to worry with it. It's not like a hat. And so I took that Russian hat. I'll guarantee you, I was the only fellow over there walking the streets with a Russian hat. And big as I was, with a great big white, nearly white, standing out like a sore thumb, that tan overcoat on. And it wouldn't have been hard for the police to keep track of me over there. Well, in Laodicea, I suppose if fella would have had white raiment or something different than the black, he would have stood out. But he needed to stand out. And spiritually, God wants to fix us up with white raiment. That stands for purity. That stands for holiness. That stands for cleansing. That stands for something that's been done down in the depths of our heart. Well, they had a textile mill there where they worked that black wool up and made black carpets. And it was just kind of a black situation. Yeah. But he said, I'll give you white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. He said that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. The Lord wants His people clothed. Not only physically, but certainly spiritually. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That watchman on the wall, whenever he was on the wall and watching through the night, it was his job to stay awake and be vigilant and see that everything was all right. But whenever the fellow came around through the night with his torch, came around and checking the watchmen that were on the wall. And here was a fella that was dozing and asleep. You know what the fella done? He just took his torch and put it to the hem of his garments. That's right. And that began to flame and begin to build up a little heat under him, and he'd begin to fan it out and put it out. But whenever he went home the next morning and walking through the streets and his clothing was all singed and burnt, it was a testimony. He'd have to hang his head. It was in shame. They realized what had happened. Here was a fellow we had left our lives in charge of our lives and our safety, and he's gone to sleep and he was in a shameful condition. Spiritually, he said that the shame of our nakedness do not appear because we've got white raiment. He said that they might have eye salve. They had a medical school at Laodicea. Jesus knew the dead. They had a special ointment that they had concocted or perfected at Laodicea. And so it was known everywhere around. If you've got eye trouble, you need to go see the doctors at Laodicea and get the ointment that they've got over there. Jesus said, I've got something that'll eye salve that's a lot better than what you folk have got. He said, you're blind, wretched, miserable, teaching in your school and training your doctors and selling your ointment. But he said, I've got eye salve that can open your eyes. As I said, Laodicea is our day. Did you ever see such blindness? I could say this here, maybe not everywhere. A certain church I know, and a certain individual, he's in the military. I've preached to him a lot of times. At least he knows what he believes. He got up and testified 2 or 3 months ago. I wasn't there. And he said, you can't be a Christian and be a Democrat. And sat down after he got through, of course. About 4 or 5 seats behind him is where Sister Betty sits. And she hopped right up. And she said, I'm a Christian and I'm a Democrat. Well, let that be as it may. But I'm talking about spiritual blindness in our day. And Jesus said, I could fix you up so that you could see. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke. It's not pleasant. I didn't like it when my daddy rebuked me. Mother either, necessarily, but it's worse when dad done it. But as many as I love, I rebuke. I don't want them to just keep going on in a way of error, so I correct them. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Praise God. I'm glad he's knocking, aren't you? Babcock's pastor, Brother Knuckles, where he was pastoring years ago, he said the had two wings off of that auditorium. He said, I was trying to preach in that service, but his axe was so dull, he said, I couldn't chop anything. And I know what it's like, one of those dull services and a dull axe and a dull congregation. And he said, over here, I think to his left, there was an old fella, 90 years old, and he'd preached him to sleep. And that old fella was dreaming that he was home and in his rocking chair. And while Brother Knuckles was preaching, he said, finally he began to pick up a little speed and get a little bit of inspiration. And when he did, he began to hammer on the pulpit. And he come down on that pulpit about 4 or 5 times, and that old fella come out of his slumber and run out before that crowd of about 250 and said, Mary, somebody's at the door. He was so embarrassed. Oh, he said, Brother Knuckles, I apologize. Brother Knuckles said, that's all right. Probably. He said, probably what we needed to wake us up. Add a little flavor to the service. But sure enough, That was fantasy of his mind. But sure enough, tonight, there's somebody that's knocking tirelessly, knocking at the door. I wonder if Jesus feels, will I be turned away another time? Will they not let me in? I'd love to come in. I yearn to come in and sup with them, commune with them, fellowship with them. But they've got to open the door. I won't intrude. I won't force myself upon them. They've got to open the door. Let's stand. If there's anybody tonight that wants to pray, the altar is open. If Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, you ought to respond. You ought to let him in. Would there be anybody like that tonight that would say, "Preacher, he's been knocking at my heart for a long time, and I've turned him away, but I want that to stop. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to let him in." Anybody like that? He won't intrude, but oh, he sure does want to come in and sup and fellowship. And when he's doing that, he'll minister to us, he'll strengthen us, he'll help us for the battle that are ahead. Praise God. Praise God. Ronnie, dismiss us with prayer.